Good morning. Today's daf in Sota is Yud Ches. We're starting at the very top. Again, thank the Masud family for sponsorship of the entire Masechta Sota. The learning that we do should be Lezecher Nishmas Nechemya ben Avraham. We begin. We were rattling off a number of halachas in yesterday's daf regarding the fact that the scroll in which we're writing the alos is going to be considered a sefer. The Torah calls it a sefer. So yesterday's daf and daf yizayin, so we tackled some of the most basic issues. Number one, we tackled how many psukim are we writing on this Megillah. So the Torah gives us instructions, but even within the instructions, it's not perfectly clear which parts of the instructions are subject to be written. There was a Mishnah we saw yesterday, which had three opinions on this matter: Rav Meir, Rav Yosi, Rav Yehuda. Three opinions in terms of how much of the psukim that are going to be written. Then, on the bottom of yesterday's daf, Yizayin Amud Aleph, towards the bottom, so it's a sefer, and as a result of that, you have to treat it like a sefer, which means that the parchment that you're writing on and the ink that you're using, so they all have to comply to a sefer. And while we were on the topic, so yesterday's daf, Yizayin Amud Beis, went over a number of halachas. I think we rattled off four different halachas, in which, because it's a sefer, so therefore, you have to treat it like a sefer. Right, and if I wrote it like an Igeris, it's going to be puzzle, said the Gemara at the end of yesterday's daf. What exactly does that mean? So Rashi says that you wrote it below Sirtut. You didn't score it. When you're writing a Sefer Torah, so the lines have to be scored. If you don't score lines, it's going to be puzzle. And by the Sot, it's not going to be different. Good. So those are all the halachas that we went over yesterday. Kasva al Shnei Dapin. So we start today's daf, Yud Chesam at Aleph, and we are going to go over another basic halacha, which is, it has to be one column. At least that's the way Rashi presents the Gemara. You look at the top Rashi on Yud Ches Amud Aleph, Kedapim Shel Sefer Torah, Hasuyin Amudin. So obviously you'll note with the Sefer Torah, so the Sefer Torah is written in columns. Now it makes sense. Sefer Torah is got well over 5,000 psukim, right? Well over 300,000 words, right? It will be not a challenge, but impossible to go ahead and to write a Sefer Torah in one column. So obviously the Sefer Torah is divided amongst columns. However, when it comes to the Parsha of the Sota, so we're talking at maximum four psukim. And again, going back to yesterday's daf, there are opinions out there, there are two psukim. So four psukim, two psukim, whatever the number is, it's totally containable within one column. And the way Rashi understands the Gemara, you must contain it within one column. So why? So the Gemara gives an explanation. So Sefer Echad Amar Rechmana. Right, this part is a little, you got to be a little bit careful over here. In other words, Sefer is to be understood as Echad, meaning the Pasuk does not say Sefer Echad. Right, if the Pasuk would have said Sefer Echad, then that would have been a no-brainer. But the Torah says Sefer, and as a result, the Kasuf is Ha'alos Ha'ila HaKohen Bis Sefer. Okay, let me read it correctly. Ba Sefer. So you're writing it on the Sefer, but implicit in the word Sefer is that it's one. And so the Gemara says, Sefer, Echad Amar Rechmana V'lo Shnayim V'shosho Sfarim. So by virtue of the fact that it says it B'lashon Yachid, so that means that it's one. It's got to be one Sefer. Now, what does that mean, one Sefer? Right? Again, our English translation of book over here is not going to do justice. It's not a book. So in other words, what do we mean that the Parsha has to be one Sefer? So that's exactly what the Gemara just said. It has to be one column. One column as opposed to splitting up between two and three columns. Now, last halacha that we're going over is the following. We know that upon writing it, then you're going to put it into the water and it's going to erase. Okay. Again, we're trying our best to avoid it, but that's where we're headed to, if everything is done correctly. The Gemara's question over here is that what if I write a letter and then put it in the water, erase that letter, and then write the next letter and put it in the water and then erase it? Okay. It's really strange. And what do we gain from that? What practically do we gain from that? I have no earthly idea, but the Gemara wants to know. But
you're never going to have the Shem
Hashem. Yeah, okay. You know what? It's fair suggestion, right? Maybe in doing so, you'll never have the full Shem Hashem and you're never erasing the full Shem Hashem. Okay. It could be anyway. The Gemara wants to know, is this going to be valid? Is there validity in doing it in this manner? So to which the Gemara says, nope, it's invalid. In other words, you have to first write everything out and then erase. And that's, it's Maduk and the Psukim. The Gemara makes a diuk. The Asalah HaKohen is Kol HaTorah Zos. So you're going to be doing Kol HaTorah. And then, and only then, do you put it in and do you erase it? Good. Okay. Adkan, that takes us to the end of the series of questions. The Gemara now is going to continue by Rava. Okay, so the pasuk says Va'asala. So which teaches us that you have to do it lishma. And now the Gemara is going to have a number of follow-up questions regarding lishma. Okay, so before we go over the follow-up questions. So again, the basics regarding lishma, right? For example, a get, right? The get also has a lishma requirement. Lishma is not any kind of mystery. It's not, it does not mean that you have to have any super kavanas when you're writing it. It just simply means that when you're writing it, you know who you're writing it for. It's really that simple. So when you're writing a get, so you can't just simply go to the file, right? Say, oh, who wants to get a divorce? So there's an Avram and there's a Sarah who wants to get a divorce. Go to your file, take out a pre-written get with the names Avram and Sarah, and take it out and say, here you go, right? Perfect. That doesn't work. Meaning when you're writing the get, it has to be specifically for this Avram and this Sarah who want to get a divorce. Okay, and the Gemara assumes now that when it comes to the Megillah Sota, there also has to be a lishman. It's because the Torah says, va'asa la, you're going to be doing it for her. So that means that the Megillah is going to be written specifically for this particular sota. You can't pre-write the Megillah sota, and just simply, as a sota comes in, take it out. Now, by the way, parenthetically, it'd be a little bit easier to pre-write a Megillah sota than it would be a get. Because in the Megillah sota, you don't have to name your sota. In other words, you just simply have to write out the psukim, and that's it. So it really can be a generic nondescript. Hey, let's get a template sota Megillah for the sota. In other words, it's easier to do that. With the get, it's going to be more challenging because with the get, you actually need the names of the of the husband and wife in the get. So, but the point is still the same. It has to be written specifically for her. That's true by a get. It's true by the Megillah sota, and there's a lishma requirement. Okay, good. That's the hanacha, that's the assumption going into the upcoming Gemara. And now the Gemara says, okay, now I got some questions. Now, you'll know the questions are going to be based on the following. By get, again, a little more comparison. By get, so the Torah says, v'kasavla, you're writing it for her, so the lishma is going on the ksiva. Okay, and that part's pretty clear. Over here, it says, v'asala, and you're doing it for her. So the lishma is going on the performance. Ah, okay, good. So already you could see now where the ambiguity is going to lie. Because we have a lishma requirement. Is going on performance. Which part of the performance are we talking about? Okay, hopefully that was a great setup. Let's see the Gemara inside. So by Rava Kasa Shte Megillah Shte Sotos. Umachem Lasoch Kosech and Mahu. Now I know previously earlier in the Masech that we talked about lining up your sotas in the Beis HaMikdash and doing the two of them simultaneously. You are not allowed to do that. A mashkin shtei sotas kachas, we learned earlier in the Masechta, right? Davches, if I remember correctly, but regardless, that's not our discussion right now. In other words, we want to know this lishma requirement. So let's say I write shtei megillas shtei sotos. It's two megillas prepared for two different sotos, and what we did is that we erased them in one cup. Right, we threw them into one glass of water. And glass, by the way, is incorrect because we already learned it's earthenware. It's not made up of glass, but okay. Anyway. So the Elosokos Echad Mahu. So Ksiva Lishma Be'inan Va'ika. Now, here's what we're asking. In other words, I wrote two separate Megillas. So the Ksiva was done Lishma. However, because we threw it into one cup, so that means that the Mechika was not done Lishma. Because I didn't do it individually for each one. So, ksiv l'shma b'inan v'ayiko, dilma b'inan nami mechika l'shma. Or maybe no, maybe over here the mechika also has to be done l'shma. That, because again, the pasuk says va'asa la. The performance has to be. So which part of the performance are we talking about? So the Gemara over here is entertaining the idea that now it's not just limited to the writing l'shma, but also writing and erasing. That has to be done l'shma as well. Now the Gemara says, okay, now let's advance the discussion. And this is the classic style of the Gemara, where the Gemara says, look, I asked a question, I didn't answer it, but let's assume. Right? This is the Imtim Salomar, let's assume style of Gemara, where the Gemara says, I want to advance the question, I want to kick the question forward, so let's just assume. the Rambam, traditionally, whenever the Gemara uses the style of Intim Salomar, the Rambam will say, well, if the Gemara is assuming a certain way, it really is another way of the Gemara saying, I'm answering the first question. Even though I'm not saying it definitively, but the Rambam's understanding is that once the Gemara says, let's assume, and now let's move on to the next step, so that's the Gemara's, that's another way of the Gemara simply saying, that's the halacha. So, Intim Salomar, Be'ina Nami Mechik Lashma. So let's say Mechika also has to be done Lashma. Let's assume. And again, according to the Rambam, understanding is, yes. I have to be writing it Lishma, I have to be erasing it Lishma. So Macha Mishaykh Kosus Vechazavi Irvan. So let's kick the question forward. I wrote two separate Megillas for two different sotas. And we erased it in two separate cups. Each one of them now was Lishma. Right? I'm erasing this Megillah for her, I'm erasing that Megillah for her, and both the Ksiv and the Mechika were done Lishma. But then what did I do? So then I took the two cups of water and I mixed them together. So on one hand, Mahu, what's the halacha over here? Mechika l'shma b'ina v'ayika, meaning, was it that ksiva mechika have to be done l'shma, and we checked that box? So Dilma, halav dida kashasya, halav dida kashasya. Alternatively, they're not drinking their cup. In other words, each of the sotas have to be drinking their own individual cup. And over here, we failed on that front. And once again, now the Gemara is going to be kicking it forward, meaning, okay, let's assume that each one of them has to drink from their own cup. And again, from the Rambam's perspective, when the Gemara says Imtim Salamar, it's just another way of saying that's required. So I have to write it Lishma, I have to erase it Lishma. Each one of the women have to be drinking their cup. So then, let's do the following. So this is now going to be the last permutation of this question. I wrote each Megillah for each woman separately. The writing was Lishma. I erased it in two separate cups. The Mechika was Lishma. I then mixed up the two cups together. Shouldn't have done that, but I did it. I then redistributed that mixture into two separate cups. Okay? It's kind of like we're at Sheva Brachas. Okay. Now, the Gemara's question is as follows. Yesh Breira or Ain Breira? So can we say Breira or can we not say Breira? Meaning, we're going to assume right now that obviously when I redistribute it into two separate cups, obviously we're not saying that the waters now went back to the respective cups. We have no earthly idea. However, using the principle of Breira, what we can say is that retroactively, the water that she's drinking now was the water that was hers all along. Okay, and there is a major discussion over here. Tosos touches on it, and that is that when the Gemara is asking about Breira over here, is this generic Breira? Is this classic Breira? Is this the Shas Breira that we normally talk about? Or is this a specific type of Breira to this particular discussion? And notably over here, because you and I have been through enough Breira sugyas and Shas to know that whenever we talk about Breira, the Gemara goes into its general, oh, you know what? As long as we're talking about Breira, so let's bring down the machlokas between Reb Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Remember the Demai. Remember the, right? I don't have another vessel to put it in, and I want to take off Demai. First I'll drink, and then retroactively, that which is left over is going to be the Trumas and Maestros. And, okay, in other words, there is a general discussion that ensues usually when we're talking about Breira. And notably, over here in our Gemara, none of that discussion occurs, which gives the impression that this is not a general Breira discussion, but maybe a specific Breira discussion to our Gemara over here. Anyway, the Gemara, at this point in time now, bows out. Teku. Yes.
Is this mixture considered like min b'min or in general?
Right, right. In other words, it's dirt and water.
I know, but the question is it min b'min? Like, is it assigned, since it's assigned to each woman separately, is it min b'min? Like, you mix them together?
Right, right, right. Fair. It's fair. I'm not sure. I could certainly guess, but I don't know. So Yesh Breira, Ein Breira, Teku, the Gemara leaves this question now unresolved. So, as much as the Gemara left unresolved, so now consider the things that we did resolve. Again, as I said, we'll say it like the Rambam. And that is that the writing of the Megillah has to be Lishma. The racing of the Megillah has to be Lishma. And when a woman drinks, she's going to have to be drinking her cup. In other words, it cannot be a cup that belonged to another sota. And then the only thing outstanding left open-ended in the Gemara is what happens if I mix the two cups together and then I redistribute it to the two cups. Do we say Breira? Do we not say Breira? And then the sub question that we asked, is this a general braver discussion or a specific braver discussion? But by the time we got to the end, a number of issues were in fact resolved. By Rava, Hishka Besiv, Mahu, Bishvaferis Mahu. So Derech Shesiyah Bekach, Lein Derech Shesiyah Bekach Teiku. Let's say she drinks her sota solution through a straw. Right? The Gemara gives a couple of examples of basically drinking it not directly from the cup, but drinking it through a straw. Is that Derech Shesiyah? Is that a normal way of drinking? Okay. Bismanenu straws are really popular. Okay, so I don't know if this is a question regarding what is considered normal habits and normal practice, or maybe it's more of an objective question of, does drinking by halachic definition require you to be drinking it straight from the cup? Okay, a little bit unclear in terms of what exactly the Gemara is asking, but the Gemara leaves this question this question also remains unresolved. By Rav Ashi, nishpachu mehem, nishtaru mehem. So let's say that before the whole solution's prepared, right? They got the dirt, got the water, erased Shem Hashem in it, and then as the Kohen is now walking over to the woman, he trips, he falls, most of the drink has been spilled. There's a little bit left in the cup. Okay. Right. So, right, the scene I see in front of me so clearly. Okay, the Kohen obviously is embarrassed, but now, okay, we're past the embarrassment, and now the halachic question. And that is, does it work? In other words, this is, you have Shirayim. All you have is the remnants of this cup. And is that going to be sufficient? Meaning, does it only work when you have the cup there in its total? Now, it's not clear, by the way, one of the funny things that Gemara does not mention is how much of it does she have to drink? She has to drink some of it, most of it, all of it. Right? We just went through Pesach and Dalakosos. So the halach is that you should be drinking the whole cup, but that's ideally. In other words, bidyevi, you don't have to drink the whole cup, but okay. So over here, we are not informed at any point in time how much of the cup she needs to drink. So what the Gemara is asking over here is the effective nature of if I don't have the full cup. Meaning, so most of it was spilled, and all I have is just a shirayim. Does it work? And again, the Gemara leaves this question unresolved. I'm sorry, Ben, what was the... You were asking?
The requirement was drinking your reveal.
Yeah, right. Fair, and I don't know. Okay. All right. And finally, our last discussion here of the Amud Aleph goes like this. And that is, what now becomes about the Shvua? Okay, now, here's what we already know. And that is that she will be adjured. The Kohen is going to be there, and he's going to be mashpia her. He's going to adjure her, and he's going to make her swear. Now, it's a tricky Gemara coming up, by the way, but if I may, I'm first going to give away the punchline, and then we'll go through the steps of the Gemara. Okay, how many times is the Torah having her swear? So the answer is twice. Okay, in other words, if you read the Pesukim carefully, you're going to see that the Kohen's Mashbiah her on two occasions. Two times in the Pesukim do we see the words Mashbiah. Okay, so fact number one is that he adjures her not once but twice. Okay. The first time Vishbia is going to be in Pasuk Yotes, and then the second time is Chafala. Vishbia Kohen Seisha Vishvua Sa'ala. Okay, so there are two Shvuas. That's point number one. Point number two. There is a subtle difference between the first and the second Shvua, in that the first one, Vishbia Osa Kohen. In other words, it's a standard Shvua. You'll see what I mean in just a moment. The second Shvua is going on the Allah, on the curse. Now, when we say the curse, what we really mean is the consequence. Meaning, you understand what's going to happen now. If, in fact, you slept with that man, you're going to blow up. Okay? So that is the Allah. So what we're looking at are two Shvuas that the Kohen adjures her. The first one is a little bit more generic. The second one's going specifically on the consequence. And so the Gemara's discussion over here is why two? What's the difference between one and two? Okay, so and the punchline of the Gemara is that they necessarily both have to exist. Okay, I'll clarify that point in just a moment. So, Amar Rabbi Zera, Amar Rav Shei Shvuos, Amar Besota Lama. Why do I have two Shvuos? Again, went through the Pesukim. We noted that it says the words Hishbia twice. So the Gemara presents, One is before the name of Hashem is erased, and the second one is after the name of Hashem is erased. And so Rava makes a very simple objection. In fact, it's such a simple objection, hard to even understand how the suggestion was made. But Rava says, I don't understand. You read the psukim. You're following the instructions in the psukim. And what comes out is very clear. And that is that both of the shavuos are before the word is erased. So don't tell me that one's before it's erased and the other one's after it's erased. It's simply not true. That's not the sequence of the psukim. So Alama Rava, so Rava just simply says, look, I reject your suggestion and here's what I'm going to offer. Right? It's a little bit funny, by the way. The original suggestion was made by Rabbi Zera Amar Rav. In other words, it's basically a Memra B'Shem Rav. And for Rava, who's a later generation Amara, to just simply challenge with what seems to be an obvious challenge and reject, meaning if we were to go into the Gemara deeper, which we're not going to do right now, but if we were, so then you just gotta wonder what happened over here. Meaning, how did Rav make a suggestion so easily challenged and refuted by Rava, who lived later? Okay, so there's got to be more going on, but we're going to go on. So, okay, so the dual shvua, the double shvua, one is going to be with consequence, that's one's going to be without consequence. Okay, so the first shvua is one without the consequence. Meaning, look, she's going to make a shvua. Did you or did you not sleep with that man? Okay, well, first of all, we know that if she admits that she did sleep with that man, so then, okay, we just stop everything. Okay, and then we go on from there. Meaning her admission now will just basically cancel the order of having to erase Shem Hashem and so forth and so on. That we know already. But Shavuot number one is going to be, did you or did you not? And she's going to say, I did not. Okay. Good. So Shavuot number one is just on whether, what happened there, yes or no. Shavuot number two now is also going to include Allah. Consequence. Meaning, you understand now that if you did sleep with that man, so what's going to happen is that you're going to blow up. You're going to explode. Okay? So and she's going to be making a shvua on that. Okay? And so here, it's a little bit of a tricky Gemara, but we'll navigate. The Gemara wants to know what exactly is the verbiage, what's the wording that's going to get us to her making a shvua on the consequence. That's the Gemara's question. So, Hechidam Shvua Sheshima Allah, Merav Amram Amarav, Okay, so our first attempt, and again, by the way, same format. Rav makes the following offering, and that is that a shvua. I'm adjuring you, right? This is the Kohen saying to her that you didn't sleep with that man, and if you did, so the word is going to go into you and just do its damage. So I'm a Rava, Allah l'chuda kaima shvua l'chuda kaima. So again, Rava says I reject that. Because what you did not do is that you did not incorporate the consequence into the shvua. Meaning, she has to be making a shvua on the consequence. Your formulation, says Rava, didn't do that. So, Allah Marava, Mashbin Alecha, Shim Nin Mesia Vobech. If you were Mitami, if you slept with him, so then the word is going to go inside of you. Okay, so his wording is better because it now incorporates the consequence as part of the shvua. So Amar Rav Ashi, Allah ika shvua leka. So Rava says, yeah, good. You did such a good job now, but you did too good a job. In other words, now all the focus of her shvua now is going to be going on the consequence and not on whether or not she slept with a man or she didn't sleep with a man. Meaning what we're looking for is now the perfect shvua where she is simultaneously, it's a little bit of a challenge, simultaneously swearing that she didn't sleep with the man and acknowledging that if she did, then the water is going to go to work on her. So Allah Maravashi, so Ravashi says, Mashbini Alaicha, Shalom Nitmes, Vim Nitmes Yavoabech. Okay, so Ravashi now finally puts the wording together where it's going on both what she did not do, or at least what she's swearing she did not do, and on top of that, the full understanding of, and if she did, so then she is going to, she's going to blow up. And this wording of Rav Ashi now is going to have both the Shvua and the Allah as being part of it.
Is it changing the text?
No. In other words,
Shalom.
Meaning, no, he is right, correct. He is, He's changing the text, but in other words, there was no existing text that existed. Meaning, we only know that the Torah says mashbiani. He adjures her. But in terms of what exactly the formula is going to be, the formulation, in other words, it's got to be something on both what she did or did not do, what she's claiming she didn't do, and it's going to be on the Allah. And what the Amoraim are just doing is that they're just obviously trying their best to express how would that actually sound like. Sound it out. And that's what the Amoraim did. And it's interesting, meaning we went from the first generation of Amorach giving it a try, middle generation Rava giving it a try, and Rav Ashi, last generation, saying, no, this is how it goes. Okay. All right, Adkan, that takes us to the end of the first half of today's daf. Let's continue. We are on Yud Ches Amud Aleph. We are at the Mishnah on the Bam of the Amud. And here now we begin one of the most classic discussions over here in Sotan, that's Gilgul Shavuah. Okay. One of the funniest parts is that you're not going to hear the words Gilgul Shavuah in the Gemara today. But today's it. Meaning Sota Daf Yud Ches is the Gemara's essential discussion regarding Gilgul Shavuah. Now what is Gilgul Shavuah? It means the following. We have an opportunity to adjure a woman, right? She has to make a Shavuah in terms of whether she did or did not. Again, right now her position is she did not, and a Shavuah is going to be made. Okay. Once she's now in a position that she's making a Shavuah, so you know what we can do? We can pile on. Okay. So we can pile on another Shavuah on top of that, another Shavuah on top of that. Now, they have to be related, as we're going to see in the course of today's daf. In other words, if let's say he feels that she's been skimming off the top of the bank account, so now is not the time to pile on, right? In other words, not only do you swear that you didn't sleep with that man, but on our accounts, did you skim a little bit off the top? In other words, that's obviously not related. But as long as you were in a position where she's making a shvuah, so other shvuahs now can be made. Now the limits and the scope of Gilgul Shvuah obviously is its own separate shear. But meanwhile, over here, this is the source. Meaning the Parsha Sota tells us that once a person's in a position where they're making a shvuah, you can add more shvuahs on top of that. Gilgul Shvuah literally means to roll shvuahs on top of it. Okay? And again, in other words, we in America have this thing called football, so we understand what piling on means. Okay, right? The person was tackled. Okay, it's okay. I know it's not okay. But another person will you jump on him. Another person, and over here by Shavuos, that is perfectly acceptable. Gilgul Shavuah is a concept. And I know it from Sota. How do I know it from Sota? It's actually really simple. Va'amra ha'isha amen va'amen. She says, right? Amen va'amen. Now, if she were just addressing this particular Shavuah, one amen would be sufficient. Why does it say amen v'amen? Because the Torah is encrypting over here, teaching us that what you can do is that you can roll on other shvuahs, and she has to also acknowledge that, yes, right? I didn't do B, C, and D. What we're going to be learning in our Mishnah is going to be what are acceptable additional shvuahs that we can add on to the Sota. So, ama, he omeris amen amen. So why is she saying amen amen? Basically, what is the Gilgul Shavuah that we're rolling on top of her? Amen. Allah amen ala Shavuah. Okay, so, number one, the Mishnah tells us that the amen is going on the consequence. Amen is going on the Shavuah. And we just highlighted in the previous Gemara what's the difference between Allah Shavuah, right? Shavuah is basically, I didn't sleep with him. Allah is the consequence. What if I did sleep with him? Okay, good. Amen mi'isha akher. Okay, and now, right? Currently, you're being being accused of infidelity with this particular man. Remember, the reason why we're here in the Beis HaMikdash right now is because she was warned against a particular man. She secluded herself with that particular man. So her cause for being here is one particular man. However, while we're here and while we're on the subject, so I also want you to make a shvuah that you weren't with another man, even though that's not why she's here. But as long as there's an accusation and as long as we're trying to clear ourselves of any doubt that she committed any kind of infidelity, so now there is a second shvuah, however, it doesn't matter. The number doesn't seem to matter. An additional shvuah that she wasn't with another man. So, amen shalosh shatisa, satisi arusa. And oh, by the way, during erusin as well. So, right, that you didn't commit adultery during erusin. That's the first stage of marriage. So, shalosh satisi arusa. Venesua, neither during Erisin nor during Nisuin. Shomeris Yavam, Kenusa. Or let's say Shomeris Yavam. Now, as we're going to see later on, this is a separate woman. In other words, this is all not one woman. In other words, we're addressing over here separate women. Let's say over here we have the following scenario, and that is that a man married his Yavama. Okay. Rachmanis, his brother died. Brother died childless, leaving his widow. You have a mitzvah of Yibum. Okay, we're all familiar. We spent a mesechta talking about it. And now what happens is that you marry your Vama. So she was a Shomeres Yavam. Now she's your wife. She's a Kenusa. And so now, so after having gone through that saga, so here now, a new saga. And that is a concern of infidelity. So you warned her, you brought her to the base of Mikdash. You warned her, she secluded, you brought her to the base of Mikdash. And now she's making a shvua. So what you can do now is you can pile on. Not only am I adjuring you that you didn't that you didn't sleep with that man during Nisuin post marriage, but even during Shomeres Yavam, while you were in the state of being a Shomeres Yavam, after the death of your first husband, otherwise known as my brother, and before I married you during Shomeres Yavam, I'm also now adjuring you that you didn't sleep during that period of time. So Amen Shelo Nit Mesi VeIm Nit Mesi Avo Bi. Again, the Amen that she didn't defile herself, and if she did so, then the water is going to go inside of her. Okay, and that is going on the Allah. Okay, Rabbi Meir Omer. Amen Shelo Nit Mesi Amen Shelo Etame. We have an opinion over here of Rabbi Meir that is absolutely fascinating, and that is that we can also add on the following Shvuah. And that is, not only is she going to make a shvuah that she did not have an indiscretion in the past, but she's going to make a shvuah that she's not going to have an indiscretion in the future. Okay. Future indiscretions.
How could that be,
Right? Good. I'm getting the best looks over here in this room. So, the Gemara is going to clarify. Even with the Gemara's clarification, it's still going to be difficult to understand. What Rameir does not mean, I'm giving away the Gemara. Is that we are not going to forecast now, neither is Hashem going to forecast what's going to happen in the future, and right now she's going to blow up. That's not what Rameir is saying. However, what Rameir is saying, however, is that basically, the way Rameir sees it, the water is never going to leave her. In other words, she's drinking the water. There's always going to be part of that water actually physically inside of her, part of her, physically, spiritually, however you want to say it. And then later down the road, if she decides, I know I went through a really harrowing experience earlier, but that was earlier in my life. Okay, now, right, new day, new choices. And later she goes and decides that she's going to commit an infidelity. According to a mayor, that water that she drank a month ago, a year ago, whenever it was, is still going to be inside of her and is going to be bodeker. That's what Rameir is saying. But Rameir is not saying that at the time when she's drinking, when she makes a shua ala asid, we now know what's going to happen in the future.
So it's like a latent punishment.
Right. Correct. That is.
But doesn't have to be specific, like meaning, like even
the original shua has to be specific. But we're no longer an original shua. We're in the world of Gilgal. This is all pylon, and pylon can include other men. And according to our mayor, pylon can include future men.
Not to be mentioned by name.
Of course not. Right?
Would the man be affected too, the future man?
So. Nope. Now keep in mind, by the way, he committed adultery. So in other words, with witnesses and warning, he's subject to the death penalty. But in other words, the waters do not affect him. Okay. So Rabbi Meir Omer Amen Shalom Nid Mesi Amen Shalom Tamei. How kol shavim shein masna lo al konim shitis ares v'lo l'achar shitis garish. Now, everyone's in agreement that what is not going to be affected is going to be future, past indiscretions. When we say past, meaning pre-Erison indiscretions and post-divorce indiscretions. They are not going to be included. Nistar le'echad v'nit meis v'achar kach echzira lo yamas ne'ima. And let's say, as a divorced woman, she slept with another man. Okay, and then he decides to take her back. Okay, now let's for a moment let me see if I can clear this up as clear as I can. Okay. After you divorce your wife, so she now obviously you and her are not married anymore, you can't be with her. Okay, that's kind of an obvious point, but she goes and marries another man. From that point going forward, you cannot take her back. In other words, even if that second marriage terminates with death or divorce, you cannot take her back. This is what's called the Isra of being Machzir Grushaso. The Torah speaks in the strongest terms about how this is Usr. The Torah calls it a Toeva. Okay? So the, this is a prohibition in the Torah. However, and I know this is going to get a little bit weird, but I'm saying over the clear halacha. That's only if she marries another man in the interim. If, let's say, after you divorce her, she just sleeps with another man, okay, and I'm not being casual, I'm just saying over the halacha. So then she does not become usher to her original husband, and then if the husband wants to take her back, and again, under advisement, I would suggest it may not be the best idea, but that's just an advisement role. But from a halachic role, he can take her back.
Isn't that Bia considered an act, one of the three apostles of Kiddushin?
So Bia doesn't create a Kenyan.
No. Now, in order for Bia to be Kedushin, there has to be witnesses. You have to be Miyachi the witnesses. It has to be a Bia L'Shem Kedushin. In other words, just because she sleeps with a man does not create any kind of marriage between him and her. Okay. So, I know. But
he gave her something of value.
Let's
Bia is going to be
for the purpose of this discussion, let's just simply say that they... Right, and I'm sorry for speaking crass, but they just hooked up. Okay? I hang out with kids way too much. Okay, I'm sorry. So the halacha is that if she's just with a man, it does not prohibit him to her. So, what the Mishnah is telling us is that, so, lo acha shetizkarish nistar alecha v'nitmeis v'acha kachizira lo yamas nima. On that, so he cannot pile that onto the shavuos. Even Rav Meir will agree. Now why? Because that klal. It's very simple. Kol shetiba v'lo aisa asura lo yamasni ima. Meaning, what can we pile on? Only acts of infidelity that are going to be consequential to our relationship. Okay. I'll say it again. Right. That's a mouthful. But only acts of infidelity that are consequential to our relationship. So. Right? If she sleeps with another man while we're married, okay, she's usher. In other words, she becomes usher to me, and obviously that has consequences. So, if they're involved in kinun istira, and now I'm able to make a shvua, and now I can pile on, even as I'm piling on. So in other words, again, the chief shvua is against that man, but, in other words, I also want you to swear that you can sleep with that man, and that man, and that man. But the point is that had she been with any of those other men, so that would have a direct consequence on the marriage. Meaning, her sleeping with any other man during this marriage is going to create Isser. So, those types of shvuas can be added on. But to add on a shvua of, oh, and oh, by the way, I'm also going to swear that, you're also going to swear that you didn't sleep with this guy before Erisin. Meaning, if she did, right, she should have disclosed it and obviously it's something that she shouldn't. All well and good, but is it going to impact our relationship halachically? The answer, of course, is no. No. It may affect the ksuva and how much ksuva she's going to get, but it doesn't create iser. If she slept with a man before erisin, another man before erisin, it doesn't create iser. All right. Additionally, according to Rav Meir, because remember, Rav Meir will also have the shul going on future indiscretions. If, let's say, in that future indiscretion, we're talking about now her post-divorced life, where she sleeps with another man, is that going to create Isser? The answer, of course, is no. It's not going to create Isser in a post-divorced life. So the shvuah can't go on that. So the rule of the Mishnah is very simple. Even on the pile on shvuahs, it can only be on indiscretions that currently will create Isser in our marriage.
Yeah, Shemar Yavon, who's needed by Isser.
Perfect. Perfect. You couldn't have said it up better. Amar of Hamanuna. Shomer Yavam Shizinsa Asur Liyavama. Okay, good. So now, after having perfectly digested and understood what the Mishnah is telling us, so David pointed out, Rav Hamanuna points out, that, okay, so now deduction. And that is that you're a Shomer Yavam. So your husband died, and you're waiting now for one of your brother-in-laws to do the mitzvah of Yibum. And you have a Zika. And now you're Mizana. You obviously shouldn't have done that. In other words, it's usher to do so. So now, you shouldn't have done it, it's usher. are you usher to your Yavam? Yes. So Rav Amnuna says, yeah, yeah, sure. Absolutely. In other words, the Torah is basically going to treat you like a married couple. Now again, as a Zika, as a Shemeres Yavam, it's not the easiest thing to figure out her status to her brother-in-law. In other words, is it like Erison? You can't really say that. Consider the fact that there are many occasions where there's going to be more than one brother-in-law, right? So if there's multiple brother-in-laws, you want to tell me that she's betrothed to all those brother-in-laws? Okay. So to talk about what her status actually is challenging. However, she's bound. So what Rav Hamanun is telling us is that if she does an act of infidelity, we're going to treat it as if she is a married woman committed infidelity. And therefore, she's going to be usher to the Yavam. It seems to be the proper conclusion. So asur li Yavama. And mimai, midiktani shemeres Yavam uchenusa. So now, because look back at our Mishnah. What are the pylon shvuos that we added in our Mishnah? The case of shemeres Yavam. Look, just go over the rule of the Mishnah, right? And it's so perfectly encapsulated at the end of the Mishnah. The rule is, you can only pile on shvuas that are going to be affecting our current relationship. And one of the pile on shvuas in the Mishnah is, you didn't sleep with another man while you were shemeres yavam. Oh. So all you got to do is put those two pieces of information together. And the conclusion therefore becomes, had she been with another man while she was a Shemeres Yavam, she will now be usher to her husband. So Amri b'marav le'silchasak Rav Amnuna. So, funny, because it really does seem like a perfect way to have learned the Mishnah. Rav Hamnuna is making what seems to be a really strong argument, and the Gemara, and it says that, you know, in Eretz Yisrael, So they just dismissed Rav Hamnuna. We don't like your conclusion. So to which the Gemara now says, wait one second, Allah diktani shemeres yavam uchenusa. So the Gemara says, okay, but I don't know. I'm reading the Mishnah, and Rav Hamnuna seems to be making perfect sense. We just articulated the argument of Rav Hamnuna. It really works out. What are you going to do with our Mishnah? So the Gemara says, well, I'll tell you what you'll do with our Mishnah. So Amani Rabbi Akiva Yidamar in Kedushin Tovsim Bechayv Elavim Umashvila Kireva. So it could be that you know who the author of our Mishnah is, Rabbi Akiva. Now, to properly understand this, so you just need to know one thing, and that is what creates a mamzer. So we're going to be discussing this extensively in the third parak of Kedushin. But what creates a mamzer? So a arayus is going to create mamzer, meaning that if the nature of the prohibition between man and woman is that of arayus, so the resulting child is going to be a mamzer. Eishes ish, any one of the family members listed in the Torah, in Parshas Achrimos and Kedoshim, right? The only erva, right? It's a great trivia question, but it's an important one. The only erva that does not produce a mamzer is nida. Okay, that's it. And then the Tosos in the beginning of Yevamos wonders out loud, right? Is nida really like a perfect example of arayus? Is it? Maybe it's its own separate category. Anyway, but arayus is going to create a mamzer. Rabbi Akiva takes the following position. If the nature of the prohibition between man and woman is not arayus, but it's a lav, the resulting child is still going to be a mamzer. Which means that according to Rabbi Akiva, you have a proliferation of mamzerim in this world. In fact, right, and not our Gemara today, but on a number of other occasions, right, there was basically almost like, I don't want to say it too strongly, but I'll say it. There was almost like a revolt against Rabbi Akiva on this particular issue. Right? Bo v'nitzoach, let's go scream at Rabbi Akiva, who's just adding more mamzerim to the world because of his position. In other words, it was a position that, although Rabbi Akiva felt really strongly about, there was a very counter, a counter movement against that position for the obvious reason that more mamzerim, which obviously we don't want. Anyway, we could assign our Mishnah to the position Rabbi Akiva. A Shomeres Yavam is not allowed to be with another man. That's a lav. If our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Akiva, what does lav equal? Lav equals arayus. Lav is tantamount to arayus. Therefore, when our Mishnah says that if she committed an act of adultery during Shomeres Yavam, because our Mishnah is like Rabbi Akiva, and because Rabbi Akiva treats every lav the same degree as Arayos, that's why it would be treated like an act of infidelity. But that's only if you subscribe to Rabbi Akiva. If I didn't subscribe to Rabbi Akiva, so then the entire argument falls apart. Now, in order to reject Rav Hamnuna, what we have to do is say that our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Akiva. It's not that simple, but that's what the Gemara just did. Okay, by Rav Yirmiyah. Let's do a little bit more for this morning. We are on Yud Ches Amud Beis, continuing in today's daf. Mahu Shiyasna Adam Al Nisuma Rishonim. So, Al Nisui Achiv Mahu. Okay, so now, our question is as follows. Again, we're on the pile on Shavuos. Okay, again, Kinu Istira, you may had her made her principal Shavua. She was not with that man. Okay, and again, now you can pile on Shavuos. We already know the only Shavuos that you can pile on are acts of infidelity that will have consequences on our relationship. That's the rule of the Mishnah. Now, can I ask her about Nisuin Rishonim? What? First marriage? What are we talking about? It means that this is now your second marriage with her. You went through a first marriage with her, you divorced her, and now you tried a second time. Well, why not? Let's give it a shot. Okay. So this is now your second marriage. Alternatively, right, that's one question. Another question is the Nisui Achiv, meaning you married her as a Yavama. She was your brother's wife. Rachmanis, your brother died, childless. You picked her up as a Yavama. You married her. So now, Rachmanis, she now is a Sota during your marriage. Can I add on, as a Gilgal, can I add on a Shvua about her relationship with your brother? Now, why would that be impactful? Go back to the first Mishnah we learned together. If she committed adultery during that first marriage, she is usher to marry the Avon. Right? The Mishnah said, perfect. The Mishnah said you'll do chalitza, but you can't do yibum. Now, if you remember, the Gemara gave a number of reasons why you can't do yibum, but can't do yibum. So in other words, is it going to have real consequences on our relationship?
Yes.
And the Gemara says, that's all you need to know. Tashma, zaklal, kol shidibah velote asira lo, lo yamas nima, ha asira, ha chinami debasna. It's very simple. You are allowed to ask any questions that will have consequences on our current relationship. So on our first marriage, that's going to obviously have impact on our current relationship. Because remember, if she committed adultery during the first time we were married, so now that creates Isser between me and her. The Isser doesn't go away when I divorce her and remarry her. The Isser's still there. Okay? So that's a real consequence on our current marriage. Same thing with the Avama. If she committed adultery during her marriage with my brother, so then when that means now that I was not able to do Yibum with her, that's going to have a real consequence on our marriage right now. Okay. And Rabbi Meir Omer, Amen. Shelo nidmeis v'chulei. Tanya lo kishama Rabbi Meir, Amen. So, shelo etamei, shim titamei. My botkin osa me'achshav ela, lechishit titamei. My marvim osa botkin osa. So the Gemara makes the point, which I gave away in the Mishnah, but I only knew it because of the Gemara that we just read. And that is that for Rav Meir's position that the Gilgal Shavuah can go on future indiscretions, it does not mean that that the Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is going to look into the future, peer into the future. Oh, she's going to commit indiscretion in the future. And now, let's punish her now. That's not what Rav Meir means. But what Rav Meir means is that the water's going to sit inside of her, it'll be latent inside of her, and that if in fact she does commit a future indiscretion, so then the water's going to come up and just choke her to death. By Rav Ashi. By Rav Ashi. Sorry. Let's do this one more section. Mashi Yasna Adam Al Nisum Achronim. So this question is within the Shita Rav Meir, meaning for a mayor who is able to have a Gilgal Shavuah not only on the past indiscretions but on future indiscretions, can I make a Gilgal Shavuah on a future indiscretion, again, this is only working for a mayor, on our next marriage. Okay. we're right. In other words, we're currently married right now, and in the event that we get divorced and I end up remarrying you, and so will Okay.
That's not the
Of course it is. But again, this is all within Rabbi Meir. So Tashma. Okay, so and again, the Gemara's articulation of the question is that look, even according to Rabbi Meir, maybe there still is going to be bookmarks of when is this going to work. Meaning, again, this whole idea of Rabbi Meir that it's able to check or inspect her on future, but still maybe with only the confines of our marriage, this marriage, or maybe not. Maybe it can also include future marriages as well. So Tashma, the Gemara says, okay, so new, let's see. So Hakol Shav Mishalai Yamas Nima Lo Al Kodesh Shitis Aras Lo Acher Shitis Garish Nister Alecha Vnit Mes Vacher Kach Yachzi Ren Aloha Yamasne. So Hayachzi Ren Vititame Hachinami Damasne Shmamina. So the Gemara says again, I'm just going to read our Mishnah and I'll make a diuk on our Mishnah. What did the Mishnah say? That according to even Rav Meir will agree, it's not going to be bodek her on any interim affairs. Now I'm using the word affairs over here, but right. In other words, right. In other words, between our divorce and our next marriage, the water's not going to check her on any of those activities. Because again, those activities are not going to have any consequences on our marriage. As I explain, and it's awkward, but it's just true. In other words, if she decides that between divorce and marriage, she decided to be with other men. But not marriage wise, just, in other words, just being with other men. So there, it doesn't create Isser. And since it doesn't create Isser, so therefore, you can't pile on a Shvua on that period of time. But anything outside of that, however, is fair game. So in other words, so in the Mishnah, what the Mishnah would imply is that only in the interim period, so that's not fair game. But in other words, but if you decide to marry her again, and now you are going to try a second time marrying her, which you're allowed to do, assuming she didn't marry anyone in the interim, so that is that's open and eligible to have a shvuah going on that period as well. Again, only according to Rav Meir, who allows for future bedikas. Okay, good. So when I read the Mishnah, I can be medayik in the Mishnah. Only on the interim period is off limits, but the future marriage, however, is within the purview of what I can make or make a shvuah on. Ad Khan. We're going to stop over here. Tana Rabbanan, we're going to start with the Brisa tomorrow. I don't know. I don't think it's connected. Okay, let's quickly recap our daf today. What an interesting daf. Okay, so number one, right, the Megillah that you're writing, your psukim is considered a sefer, and therefore has many sefer halachas. Yesterday we went over four. Beginning of today's daf, we went over two additional halachas because it's a sefer. That's number one. Number two is there's a lishma requirement, right? But over here by the sota, it's va'asa lishma. And va'asa lishma tells me that the writing has to be lishma, the racing has to be lishma, the drinking has to be lishma. And then the last thing that the Gemara dealt with is just a quick question of regarding Brera or Ain Brera. I mix the two cups together. I then redistribute it into two different cups. Okay. Anyway, the Shvua has to be going on. It's a double Shvua. Meaning Hishpia, it says in the Torah twice. One is going on the whether she did or did not. And the second is going on the consequences. I need that second one to incorporate both she did not and the consequence as well. And a question of how to properly formulate that Shvua. So that also was covered on the Amud Aleph. Good. That was what we learned on Amud Aleph. On Amud Beis, really it starts on the bottom of Yerches Amud Aleph. So we learned the basic halacha regarding Gilgul Shvua. Once we're in a position where she is forced to make a Shvua, you can pile on other Shvuas as well. What is fair game to pile on is going to be any indiscretion with anyone that will impact currently our relationship. Okay? That is eligible and fair game. Then in the Mishnah, we also learned the Shita Rav Meir. Not only can you pile on historical indiscretions, but you can also pile on future indiscretions as well. So it's an amazing idea of Rav Meir that he allows for that to occur. Even within the Shita of Rav Meir clarification, it does not mean that the Torah is forecasting what's going to happen. What it means is that if in fact now in the future she has an indiscretion, the water latent inside of her is going to gurgle up and do its work. Obviously the Chachamim don't agree with Rav Meir, but that is a machlokus tanaim whether or not you can have her make you can pile on a shvuah on future indiscretions as well. Good, and then a big discussion on the Amud Beis today is a shomeres yavam. committing adultery, is that going to be create iser between her and her yavam? Obviously, she violated the Torah, it's a lav, but would it create iser between her and her yavam? Rav Hamanuna says yes. The Gemara in Eretz Yisrael rejected the shita of Rav Hamanuna. And how to learn our Mishnah if in fact you're going to reject Rav Hamanuna. Our Mishnah certainly seems to support Rav Hamanuna's position. I'd come. We'll stop over here.